Thank you, Brother Jake, for bringing us into the presence of God through music. What a joy it is each week as Brother Jake leads us as we enter into God's presence through praise. Amen. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we praise him, that means God shows up. And I don't know about you, I feel him here today. And I'm thankful for that. Boy, these songs, song that Pam sang, every one of these songs have been just such a blessing in my life today. As we, many of them have talked about faith, by the way. And I want you to know that's what this summer I'm going to preach a series of sermons on faith. I'm going to talk about the power of faith, folks. See, a lot of us have got to make a decision what we're going to do. Are we going to walk by sight? Are we going to walk by faith? Are we going to walk in that which we can hear and touch and see? Are we going to trust God that which we cannot see? Are we going to trust him in every situation in our lives? By the way, it is faith that takes missionaries halfway across the world like the Warshers are going to go. They're going by faith, believing that God will take care of them and that God has a plan for their life. It's by faith that we who are called to the ministry follow God's call. Wherever he would lead us, we follow God's call. And sometimes that's in places we might not know or might be in places that we're uncertain about. But we still go by faith. It's by faith that we live, folks. And I want you to know that today I want to encourage you to begin a life of faith, to begin to walk with God and not just believe in what you can see and hear and touch, but believe in that which is invisible, because see, faith sees the invisible. Faith hears the inaudible. Faith believes that which we cannot see. If you have a copy of the scripture this morning, as you go to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. You know Hebrews 11 quite well. It's called the hallmark of faith. It's called the hall of fame of faith. It's called the heroes of faith. Throughout this chapter, we're going to read about men and women who lived by faith and not by sight. These people were people that believed God's word. But catch this, they didn't just believe God's word, they acted upon that word. They went to the place where they were convicted of action in their lives. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to put our faith into action, church. He wants us to trust him come what may. Lane Prairie Baptist Church has walked by faith a long time. We've seen God do wonderful things. But I want you to know there's so much more he wants to do. So much more he wants to do in your life and in my life. So much more he wants to do in your family and in my family and in this church. But it comes by people who trust God come what may. In the good times as well as the bad. We trust God in faith in the mountaintops as well as the valleys, folks. And I want you to know that's the God we serve, because he'll be with us. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the writer of the Hebrews wants us to understand about faith. He's not giving us a definition of faith necessarily in verse 1, but he's helping us understand what it is. You see what it says? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The substance or the assurance of things hoped for. By the way, this Greek word carries the idea of an essence, a real content, the reality as opposed to a mere appearance. This Greek word was also used in the first of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, when it talks about Jesus being the exact representation or the exact image of God. You and I must understand that if we're going to be people of faith, we got to believe God. We got to trust him, and that which he says is true. In the Old Testament times, the women and men of old rested in the promises of God. They believed those promises of God. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, look at it with me. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them for afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, I tell you today that these Old Testament saints had heard about the coming Messiah. They had not seen that Messiah, the one who would deliver Israel, the one that the Lord had promised. Faith is living in a hope that is so real, it gives us absolute assurance today, folks. Are we in absolute assurance? Are we believing the promises of God? That's what these Old Testament saints did. And everyone that's mentioned in chapter 11 believed the promises of God. Now, I want you to know, Dave, you and I have got to trust in the promises of God. Amen? Sometimes we don't see those promises. And by the way, sometimes we don't see them to fruition. Just like the Old Testament saints didn't. But by the way, it didn't stop them from believing. How were they? How did they come to God? They came to God because they lived a life of faith. It was accounted for them unto righteousness. Their faith was. They believed God's promises, and God's promises were true. And I tell you today, you and I must believe God's promises because they are true today, and we can know that the essence of those promises, it is real content, it's reality, and you and I, it's not mere appearance. We're not just merely appearing to understand that God is real. We know he's real. And how do we know he's real? We know he's real by our faith, folks. But not only that, notice what he says here. It is the evidence of things not seen. Some of your translations will have the word conviction. It's the conviction of things not yet seen. This, see, the second part of this implies a response. See, it's one thing to believe in the promises of God, but it's another thing to act on the promises of God. See, it implies an outward manifestation of an inward assurance. This person, they live their faith and their belief on a daily basis. It involves a faith that is real in the unseen. Now, you remember the first time the Lord appears to his apostles, Thomas wasn't present. And Thomas said, he's like us today, catch this. He said, I'm not going to believe until I put my fingers in his nail print hands. I'm not going to believe until I put my fist in his side. Now, the second time the Lord appears, after he was resurrected, to the apostles, Thomas is there, and the Lord shows him his hands. He saw those nail-scarred hands. He showed him that side. But listen, I want you to know the Lord makes a tremendous statement in John 20, 29. He says, blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. Now I tell you, I've seen Jesus through the eyes of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've seen him through the Apostle Paul. I've seen him in throughout the Word of God. I see the works of God. But I want to tell you one day, as was sung earlier, our faith will turn into sight, praise God. One day, I'm going to see Jesus face to face in all of his glory. And I want to tell you what, I'm going to have to clear out a spot and have a hallelujah time at that time. Now, some of you don't look like you're excited about that. You know what? I sure hope I get near some of y'all in heaven. Because I think for some of you, I'll see you excited for the first time. Oh, when a pastor says something like that, you ought to say, amen. Amen. Why? Amen says, I agree. Aren't you looking forward to seeing Jesus? I don't know about you, I am. Now, take, for instance, Noah. He's mentioned in this text. Look at what it says in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, What did he do? He was moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, it which is by faith. Now catch this. Noah is a perfect example of what I'm talking about today. God said to Noah, Noah, it's going to rain. Now, by the way, listen to me. Noah had no concept of rain. He'd never seen rain. He'd never seen it rain. He didn't know what that was like. But God said, I am going to send rain, and I'm going to destroy the earth because of the sinfulness of the earth. And Noah, what I want you to do, I want you to build an ark. Now think about that just a minute. First of all, he believed what God said. It was the substance of the assurance of things hoped for. In other words, he said, listen, I believe that the promise of God is true. Even though I haven't seen rain, I'm still going to believe what God said. He says it's going to rain, and if God says it, that settles it. By the way, we need to start living like that, amen? If God says it, that settles it. And that's what he did. But let me tell you what, the conviction came. Remember, I told you conviction is a manifestation of that inward assurance. The conviction came when Noah got up, and what did he do? He started building that boat, folks, that ark. And let me tell you what, he didn't just build it in 1 year or 2 years or 10 years or 50 years or 100 years. It took him 120 years to build the ark. And all during that time, he was preaching righteousness, and no one believed except his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife. Listen to me. We live in a time today that we live in a world that says, show me and I'll believe it. But I'm telling you this morning that we which live by faith, what we live by is that which we can't see. But we trust in that which we cannot see, and we trust in the promises of God. And when we trust in the promises of God, God will change us. A.W. Tozer said about faith, faith is seeing the invisible, but not the non-existent. Isn't that true? We see the invisible, but not the non-existent. By the way, even though we, catch this, cannot see God, we can see him at work. Amen? We can see him working in our lives. Let me tell you what, when Moses went up to that mount and he had an encounter with God, the Bible says his life was changed. He came down, his face shone, and he didn't even know his face was showing. Let me tell you what, have you ever noticed a person that has trusted Christ, there's a difference that takes place in them? There's an inward difference, and it's shown outwardly in their countenance. Did y'all not see Harold Flowers last week baptized? I want to tell you what, you saw that guy, he was grinning from ear to ear. He is so excited. I tell you what, every time I see Pam Hardy up here singing a praise, you see it in her countenance, the faith that she came to Christ many years ago in her. And I see it all throughout this auditorium. Folks, I want you to know faith is real. It is a real faith. Faith is living in a hope that is so real, it gives absolute assurance to us. Faith. Now I tell you, it cannot be manipulated. When of us say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll have faith as long as it fits my agenda. I'm going to tell you what, God's ways are not our ways, and his ways are past finding out. It's time for us to quit saying, God, you get it on my agenda. And it's time for us to, by faith, say, God, what do you want me to do each day? How would you want me to live? Who would you want me to share with the gospel? Who would you want me to serve? Who would you want me to give away things to that might be a blessing? That's when we start walking in faith, church. See, this faith is just not, it's not just confidence. It's not believing in myself, by the way. Aren't you glad? It isn't about me, it's about God. It's not connected to your circumstances. Faith is believing in God alone. Faith is an attitude, a mindset that has the power to chart the course of our lives, folks. May I tell you, when you decide that you're going to have faith in God, it means that you're going to rely on Him. You're going to depend on Him. But I'm going to tell you something. He's reliable. He's reliable. How many of us have seen God work through faith? Amen? We've seen God work through faith. And boy, I tell you what, it's exciting to see that, how God works through our faith, that we believe the promises of God, but not only do we believe the promises of God, we act on the promises of God. Isn't it interesting how we have natural faith? Some of you got up this morning and you drank water, maybe out of your refrigerator, or maybe drank it with a bottle of water like I have here. But how did you know this is going to be safe? Hello? That's a good time to take a drink of water, amen? You came in and sat in these chairs this morning. How did you know that chair was going to hold you up? You have natural faith. You got in your car today to drive to church. How did you know it's going to stop at the first stop sign? You trusted in that car. Some of you have had a doctor do surgery on you. I want you to know you got to trust your doctor. Of course, hopefully he's not the guy that you see on the commercial that says, "Hey, I got this. I watched the surgery last night on Google." Y'all seen that commercial, hadn't you? I don't know which one it is. It says, "Good is not good enough," you know, or whatever. I think it's Progressive. I don't know what that one is. How many of you would like a doctor that says, "I think I can"? I don't think you'd want a doctor that says, "I think I can." You'd want a doctor that says, "I know I can." But you see, we put trust in doctors. We put trust in people. We put trust in water and cars and all these things. But I'm going to tell you what, all those things can turn aside. But I'm telling you this morning, the faith that we have in God will never fail. When you trust God, He will be with you. And in fact, every one of these people found in chapter 11, you're going to see that they're people that walked by faith and not by sight. You're going to see that the Bible is true. If you go back to chapter 10, go back to chapter 10 just a minute. Look at there at verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them." And you know what he's talking about that. What was happening is people, well, there was apostasy taking place. Some people, there's that faith that they say they have, but it's not real faith. They say, "Well, I believe God to an extent." I'm going to tell you what, I got to believe God completely. Today, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. How many of you could say that? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. How does faith come about in our lives? May I tell you, first of all, there's faith in living. There's faith in living. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11. I want you to see this verse. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him," God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see that, folks? There's faith in living. Without faith, you will never, ever please God. Now, you can be a man pleaser. A lot of people are men pleasers. But I want you to know what God's looking for is God pleasers. He's looking for those who will believe that He is. Now, do you believe God is? We haven't ever seen Him, you know. Do we believe that He is? Do we believe that by faith He framed this world that we live in? I don't know about you. We're living in a time, listen to me today, church, I want you to hear this very carefully. We're living in a time that they're promoting in schools now that you've got to teach evolution more than creation. But I want to tell you something. We'll never from this pulpit preach of evolution because we believe in creation. We believe that the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. He did in 6 days, by the way. And if you can't see the creation of God, by the way, Romans 1 says, when you look at the creation of God, you see what he's done, you stand without excuse of knowing there is a God. Because we have seen God at work. Who could make the Smoky Mountains apart from God? Who could make the great coast according to God? Who could not make the islands of Hawaii apart from God making them? He is the one that has created all things, and for his pleasure they are created. See, without faith, you and I can't seek God. It is faith and living. I want to tell you something. It's time for us to start living our faith. It's time for us to have the power of faith in our everyday life, folks. Some people, you know how they live? They live from Sunday to Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what God wants you to do. He wants you to live from day to day. He wants you to live from moment to moment. Walking in faith, pleasing God, listen to me, is a moment-by-moment experience. I can't go a moment in my life without God. I can't go a moment in my life without knowing that God is at work in my life and that he is my God and that his promises are true. Thank God for that. There's faith in living. But I'm telling you also, there's faith in praying. And I tell you that without faith, we can't see prayers answered. How many of us are believing God for something? Or maybe I say this. How many of you believe God for something you was praying about and he didn't answer, so you just kind of gave up? Now, by the way, God's answers are not always yes. Sometimes they're no, and sometimes they're wait. And, well, don't we love to wait in our society we live in? That's why we have fast food joints on every corner. That's why we have microwave ovens. We don't want to wait. But I want you to know faith is important to answered prayer. There's faith in praying. When we're praying, we should believe that God is able, according to Ephesians 3:20, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ask or think. Do you believe that? Matthew 21:22 says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." In Mark 11, it says, "There might be a mountain in front of you, but if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, the smallest seed of that time, if you have the grain of a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to be removed, and it will be removed." You believe that? I want you to know I believe that. This church, we're here by faith. You know that in a couple of years, we're going to celebrate 150 years, church. And I was thinking this last week. I did a funeral for one of my former members. I was in Bonham before I came here, been here for 20 years. They invited me to come back and do a funeral. The man was 88 years old. And he was a part of the beginning of Boyd Baptist Church over there. He helped with his hands to build the first church. He's a cabinet maker. Made some of the most beautiful cabinets you've ever seen. And I got to share in his service and preach at that service on Monday. I talked about his faith. Because see, him being a cabinet maker, that'll come and go. Him being someone who built Boyd Baptist Church will come and go. Him being a faithful member of the church is important. But his faith in the Lord Jesus was the most important. There's a day he met the Lord. And because of that, his life was forever changed by the power of God through faith. I tell you today, there's faith in praying. And some of us have some mountains before us this morning, and we're not praying about it. Isn't it interesting? There was a day the altars of the church were full during the invitation time. Why? Because people met God here. And you don't have to come here to meet God. I understand that. You can pray to him right where you are. You can pray to him, go into your prayer closet. That's what the Lord says. But listen to me. When we get serious, we're acting upon it. It's a conviction that we believe there's power in prayer. We act upon it, and we come and kneel before God and say, God, I give you this situation. I can't do anything about it, but you can. And I believe in the promise of your word that says, in all things, whatsoever I shall ask in prayer, believing I shall receive. And I stand on the promises of your word, God. By the way, aren't you glad people in the Bible believed in prayer? I believe it was Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, he was standing before those 450 prophets of Baal. They had called on their gods all day long, and they didn't have any response. In 1 Kings chapter 18, it says he rebuilt the altar that was broken down. He put the bullock, he put all of it, because a burnt sacrifice, you give it all. He gave all of it to God, and then he prayed a 63-word prayer, folks. At the end of that 63-word prayer, by the way, don't forget, on this fire, on this altar, there were 12 barrels of water. God sent down fire from heaven. It consumed the sacrifice. It licked up the water, licked up the dust. And the Bible says, all the people fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Now that's praying by faith. You remember the early church in Acts chapter 4? They were told not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. They had a prayer meeting over there in Acts chapter 4. And what did they pray for? They didn't pray for protection. They prayed for boldness, church. And it says at the end of their prayer meeting, Acts 4:31, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They spoke the word of God with boldness and power. That's what prayer does. It gives you the boldness and power to speak in the name of Jesus. There's faith in praying. May I tell you also, there's faith in fighting. How are you trying to fight the devil on your own? You're in trouble if you do that. My Bible says I have everything I need to fight the devil. You know that? God's given you every resource you need. And by the way, the devil is real. He's not this person that people depict that has a pitchfork and a red suit. He was the most beautiful angel in heaven. He was the praise leader in heaven. And because of his pride, he was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. But listen to me. He's real. He's active today. He's working to destroy you, to destroy your family, to destroy your life, to destroy your livelihood. He will do everything he can. He came to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. But praise God, Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. But I'm going to tell you what, we have everything we need to fight the devil. You know that? By faith we fight him. Remember over there in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes this, and he's shut up in prison. He's probably being guarded by one of those Roman soldiers, and he begins to say, I want you to put on the whole armor of God. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power, against principalities, against the powers of darkness of this world. And he says, we're to put on the whole armor of God. And that's how we'll stand. And he goes to that armor of God. But part of that armor of God, he says, we need to take the shield of what? Faith. That shield there is the word, in the Greek word, it's the word we get our word door from. This wasn't just a little buckler, a small shield they did hand-to-hand combat with. This was a big shield that they'd go into battle with. Sometimes it was made of leather, sometimes it was made of metal, but what they'd do, they'd soak it in water, and they'd go into battle, and when those fiery arrows would come that had pitch on them, they had that fire, they'd get behind that shield, and it would hit that shield and would quench that fiery dart. May I tell you something? We don't have any real fiery darts coming at us, but the devil is firing darts at us every day. Darts of doubt, darts of depression, darts of discouragement, darts of unbelief in our lives. And what we got to do is we got to take the shield daily. We got to take that shield, and we got to get behind that shield. And by faith, we can overcome the enemy. Do you believe that today? Because I'm going to tell you what, our God's able. He is. It's our defensive weapon against the enemy. And I tell you, there's faith in healing. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God can heal? Now, I don't understand all the ways of God. And I'm not supposed to understand all the ways of God. His wisdom is above all of us. I've been healed of cancer. 9 years. This church, 9 years ago, going on 10 years, I asked the church, according to James chapter 5, it says, is any sick among you? Call the elders of the church. And I asked the deacons. I called in some of my pastor friends that I'd served with, some of the staff members I'd served with, and they showed up. Brother Bill Ledbetter, who I've done prison ministry with, Roy Fish's son Steve Fish came that night. Many of you know Brother Rick Grant, one of my staff members at Boyd Bass led worship there, came. Many came, and that night this auditorium was almost full. And I asked the church to exercise James chapter 5. And what they did, they anointed with oil. But catch this, it isn't the anointing with oil that brings healing. Catch this. It says there in James chapter 5, verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save you, will heal you. That night, this church gathered together as one, and they prayed over me. And I had a cancer that the rate of healing was about 20%. I'm not supposed to be here today, but I'm here today because there's faith, there's prayer, there's faith in prayer, there's faith in healing, church. Because God came down that night and he touched me and he healed me. He restored me. Oh, I went through the cancer treatment down at MD Anderson. God uses that too. He uses medicine. He uses doctors. But praise God, 9 years in remission because there is faith in healing. You remember over in John chapter 4? By the way, the children are going to be looking at John this week. And they're going to be looking all throughout John. And by the way, every one of these miracles that the Lord did, all these signs. And by the way, John used a different word for miracle than any others. He used the word Simeon. It's a miracle with a message. I preached on that here before. There's 7 miracles. And every one of these miracles are for the purpose of pointing people to Jesus. But over in John chapter 4, do you remember the man who came to the Lord? Jesus says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said, sir, come down there, my child dies. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man, catch this, what did he do? He believed the word that Jesus had spoken. He believed the promise of Jesus. He said, go your way, your son is healed. Not only did he believe, the Bible says he went his way. He acted on it. That's what faith is all about. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, your son lives. It required of him the iron began to be amended. And he said, yesterday, the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew it was that same hour that Jesus said, your son lives. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you. You know what reason God put that story in the Bible? He warned us to how to put faith into action. But he put that in the Bible to help us understand that Jesus doesn't have to be physically present here on earth to heal us. He didn't have to go over there. All he had to do is speak the word. I don't know about you, that encourages me. Because I know I go into a hospital room and I can pray for someone to be healed, and Jesus is able to touch them from heaven. Our prayer touches heaven, folks. Man, I wish I had time today to talk about faith and giving, but I'm going to mention it quickly. See, some of us are trusting God with our finances. Malachi 3 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me, the Lord says, that if I will not open up the gates of heaven and pour out a blessing greater than you could receive. See, a lot of us saying, well, I can't do that, Brother Jerry. I'm just not making enough money. It ain't about how much money you make. It's about how much are you giving. Are you giving that belongs to God? By the way, there's faith in giving. And I'm going to tell you what, his promise is true. Malachi 3 is true. I've tested, I know it's true. Because he'll open up heaven and he'll pour out a blessing on you. He can do a whole lot more with the 90% than you can do with 100%. There's faith in giving. And in the coming weeks, we're going to look at these people of faith, folks. There were faith that they trusted God. They trusted God on a daily basis. And God brought about healing. Abel had a worshiping faith. Enoch had a walking faith, you'll see. We're going to see that Noah had an obeying faith. Abraham, who was the father of faith, all throughout here. And later on, we'll see the courage of faith. I'm going to tell you the greatest thing about faith. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2. It says, for it is by grace that you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. May I tell you something? The way we're saved is by grace through faith. You got to believe that Jesus died and rose again. You got to believe his word, where he says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord, name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. And whenever Acts, the Philippian jailer falls down before Paul and says, sirs, must that any be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's how I'll say, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I close with this. An evangelist many years told a story of two little boys that he once visited in a London hospital. Their cots were side by side. And one boy had a dangerous fever. And the other was struck by a truck until his body was just mangled, badly mangled. The second one said to the first, he said, say, Willie, I went down to the mission Sunday school and they told me about Jesus. And I believe that if you ask Jesus, he can help you. They said if we believe in him and pray to God, then when we die, he'll come and take us home to him and to heaven. Friend said, well, how does that come about? Willie replied, but if I'm asleep, will he come? And can I ask him? And his friend said, just hold up your hand. And that's when he said, that's what I did in Sunday school, and I guess Jesus sees their hand. And since Willie was too weak to hold up his arm, the other boy propped his arm up. And it was in the middle of the night that boy died. And when the nurses found him the next day, They saw his arm propped open, propped towards heaven, and he had raised his arm. Well, he died, but when the nurse found him, it was still propped up. We can be sure that the Lord saw his arm, church, because the Lord sees faith, and the Lord accepts faith. By faith, Willie saw the way to heaven, and by faith, what we've learned and discovered today, it's not on our own, it's when we put our faith only in the Lord that our life has changed. Let me ask you a question. Has that ever happened to you? Have you believed the promises of God? Do you realize that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself? That you realize that sin has separated you from God? The wages of sin is death. Praise God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May I tell you today, as we shared earlier in our service, Jesus made the way for us. He is the only way. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Some today, I'm asking you to take your sight and turn it into faith today. I'm asking you to say, listen, I believe the promises of God's word. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By grace are you saved through faith. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm asking you to, you know, you can say, I believe that. But here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to show the conviction. You act upon it. And the way you do that, we're going to stand in a moment. You're going to walk an aisle and you're going to take a pastor by the hand and say, I need this Jesus that the pastor talked about today. I want to put my faith and trust in him alone. And we invite you to do that today, all over this auditorium. Say, well, I'm busy. Doesn't matter whether you're busy. You've been here 100 times. If you need Jesus today, that's the greatest need you'll have, by the way. And I pray you won't go away without Jesus. He is the answer. Not a answer. He is the answer. I invite you to come to him today. Turn from your sins and turn to Jesus. Repent. And God will change you. Catch this, from the inside out. You can't change yourself. You can't make a change yourself. You can't turn over a new leaf. Only God can change you. Others here today, you've been visiting our church, and God is leading you to this church by faith. And I invite you to come this morning to join this church by faith. So it takes a step of faith to join a church. Saying, hey, I'm trusting God. He's led us here. This is where we've been receiving the word. This is where the word of God is preached. This word, a church that loves the Lord, that follows after the Lord. And I want to be a part of a church like that. We invite you to come this morning to be a part of our fellowship. God's calling you to join. We invite you to come. Maybe today there's some people here with a mountain that's greater than you, but it's not greater than God. Maybe you have a situation with your family. Maybe you have a situation with your work. Maybe you have a situation looking for a job. Maybe you have another thing going on. I invite you to come and exercise faith today and kneel in this altar or sit on the front pew and just show God, say, God, I need you today. I need you, God. Because apart from you, I can't make it. Apart from you, I can't be delivered. Maybe today you're in bondage to some sin. God can deliver you from that sin. Maybe today you're in bondage to yourself. God can deliver you from yourself. He's come to set the captives free. And I invite you to come today. Let's stand.